Let's look at Mark chapter number 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaked him and say unto him, Master, here's the question. Master, carest thou not that we perished? And he arose, boy, I like that, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what man, boy, this is another good question. I won't touch this one right here right yet. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? In the history of our country, there's been some big storms. In 1991, when I say 1991 and storm, how many of you know what I'm talking about? In October of 1991, up till then, one of the strongest storms on record hit the coast of Gloucester, Massachusetts. It was called a Halloween Northeastern. And here's what it was known as. It was known as the perfect storm. There was a movie made of it. A book was written about it. Actually, it was actually three storms. Hurricane Grace had went up the coast and someone had died down. There was an old front across New England at the time. And then there was an energy that passed through the Great Lakes and went into that low pressure and then into that hurricane. And that hurricane regenerated and became a 100-year storm. Out in the ocean, it had waves that were 100 feet high. 10 stories. When it hit the coastline, it hit the coastline with waves up to 40 feet. It battered the coast. 200 homes were destroyed and 9 people was killed, $1 billion worth of destruction, and 6 people from the Andrea Gale boat that was out in the ocean was killed. And it was a horrific storm. And we find ourselves in context in this passage. There's a big storm that the disciples were getting ready to go into. And I'll give you 3 brief things, because we got a bunch of people in our church that's going through storms. They got a lot of big problems. I know it's hit my family. My heart breaks for some of the folks in my family. They're in a storm tonight. And the question might come in your mind when you get in that storm. The same question that came into the mind of the disciples. Master, carest thou not if we perish? I'll give you 3 thoughts and I'll be closed. Then we'll have a baptism. Number one, I want you to notice the coming of the storm. Look at verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. In chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, you know that he was teaching the disciples. And they were out in the ship because the crowd was so big. And then he told them, after he got done his teaching, he said, let us go to the other side. Now he said, we're going to the other side. Sometimes we get into storms and we don't know if they're ever going to end. And we don't know if we're going to get to the other side. But I want you to know, I've got a God, he does not lie tonight. Number one, I want you to notice, first of all, storms are not predictable. Now, I know in our day, the science has really got good and they are able to predict them more so. But in those days, at the Sea of Galilee, I don't know if you know the region very well or study the geographical area, but they had a lot of ravines or furrows all the way up down through the Sea of Galilee. And here's what would happen on the Sea of Galilee, Brother Joe. It's kind of fascinating. From the mountains up in the Golan Heights and the other mountains, the wind would, the cold air would come down to the, Sean, would come down all the way down to the ocean, and the warm air, or the sea, and the warm air of the sea would collide with that cold air, and you could have a clear day, and everything looked good, and a storm would brew in just a matter of seconds. I want you to know something. Whether we like this or not, we can't predict when a storm's going to come. You may be in this church tonight. You say, oh, I'm doing great, man. We just great. You just don't know when it's going to hit you. Amen. I'll tell you what, number two, the storms are not partial either. They're not predictable, but they're not partial. By the way, storms have no favorites. See, here's, can I give you a little something here? Here's an idea we get, and it's a real false idea, and it's really not healthy for you. We get this idea because we're close to Jesus, and because we go to church every Sunday, we pay our tithe, we read our Bible, we pray, that bad things ain't going to happen to us. And we're not going to go through any trouble. And I want you to know, that may sound good from Joel Osteen, but that's just not the truth. You could be a good Christian. One that loves God. Listen, Miss Petrie loves God. Barry Petrie loves God. Some of the people that's right now in the hospital, in their homes tonight, that go to this church that's hurting, they love God. But it rains on the just and the unjust, and storms are not partial. Amen. The coming of the storm. I've had a few of them brew in my life. I remember one of my first storms I ever had when I went to Mexico on a mission trip. And went down there, loved God. I did everything right. They told me not to drink the water. I didn't drink the water. They told me not to do this and do that. But they didn't tell me not to eat. And went in this big fancy place. I'm talking about a pretty, a motel or a hotel. It was a hotel. They didn't tell me not to eat the salad. And Dingbat here ate the salad. Guess what they washed the lettuce with? And I got what you call living parasites, amoebas. They were in my intestines. Saying hi to me every, yes sir. was in there 11 days. Lost 35 pounds. Came out on Easter Sunday, and I'll tell you what happened on Easter Sunday. Eddie Rhodes got saved. You remember that? And I want you to know something. And here was the rumor that went through some of the carnal people in church. Well, what'd he do wrong? I thought, my God, I'm just a young preacher. What in the world? Y'all said, what are you doing wrong? I just went down the mission field, loved on people, had a bunch of people saved. Allison didn't do a thing wrong but eat a salad. See, you don't have to do anything wrong, and still you may go through a storm. I want to help you tonight. Sometimes we feel like we're in sin. Sometimes we feel like, God, have mercy. We must be doing something wrong. No, ladies and gentlemen, these guys were faithful. They were good Christians. They just got in a storm. And secondly, I'm moving. I see the conditions of the storm. Look at verse 37. It really tells it like it is. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves that beat into the ship so that it was now full. I'm talking about back in the hollers. Here's what we call one of them. We call them frog. What is it? A frog drowner. You ever seen a frog drowner? You drown a frog, you're doing something. I'm talking about, son, just absolutely a deluge. I want to see the severity of the storm. In the case of the story, we talked about the perfect storm. This storm, man, it was a great storm. It was a great storm. And then the anxiety in the storm. Look at verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I want you to know, they were all scared, they were all frightened, and they were all anxious. And you might say, Preacher Smith, I'm not anxious tonight. You might not be anxious now, but if you get a bad report from the doctor tomorrow, something happens at work tomorrow, you'll become anxious real quick, and you need to know that there is somebody that cares for you. And they asked him the question, Ted. Master, carest not that we perish? Now, here's the question. Well, if the Lord's so good, why don't he stop it? Well, wait a minute. Let's even go a little further. We get this in our minds sometimes. If the Lord's that good, why did it happen in the first place? See, that's the devil. Well, if the Lord's that good, why is it happening in the first place? Because he's sovereign. He's great. He can stop it if he wants to. See, here's what we don't understand. Sometimes God got a big purpose in the storm. See, the trying of our faith work in patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Am I preaching? See, here's what storms will do. They'll challenge our faith. Listen to me. I've had them. I've had them to where they absolutely stop me in my tracks. And I tell you, they are a faith tester. Am I preaching? There's people in this room. All this room. You're wondering what's going on in your life. God's got a big purpose for you. He's not done with you, but he's got a purpose in your trial, and you need to glorify him tonight because he loves you. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm told you I'm moving. And number three, and I'm done. And I'm glad when he's done with it, I want to speak about the calming of the storm. Look at verse 39. I kind of like this, Sean. Sean, I like this. And he, church, we all do this with me together. Verse 39, first three words, do it for me. Oh, you can do better than that, Ann. I want y'all to know when he gets up, business is going to pick up. When he gets up and when he gets over you, I want you to know business is going to pick up. I remember when you was going through a trial just a few months ago and you asked me to pray about something. My daughter wanted to pray about the same thing. I prayed. I tell you what, I got a God. He listens to prayer. I got a God that you may think he doesn't care, but he cares. I'll give you three things and I'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice the Lord's power over the storm. Can I give you this? Sean, this blessed me so much. I about had one of them Baptist Costco fits right in my office. I studied that out. I studied that word, peace be still, out. And I'm going to tell you what it literally means. Zach, this is what it means. I'm about ready to have to spell myself. It means be muzzled. So what Jesus told the winds, sit down and shut up. Oh, you didn't get that, did you? Be muzzled. Sit down and shut up. And I want you to know, they listened to the voice of Jesus because he's the one that created them winds and he's the one that created that water. And the Bible said they were calm. There's power over the storm. There's not a storm you have tonight that God doesn't have ultimate sovereignty over. I'm moving. And then there's the Lord's presence in the storm. I want you to know something. He said, let us go on to the other side. What that tells me is, he's in the boat with you. You said, but he's sleeping. And here's what we get sometimes. We get to the place, we don't know he's there. But I want all y'all to know something. I take this verse personally. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Can everybody in the church say it? Let's just get encouraged right now. Let's say that phrase. Oh, that's fair participation, but that wasn't real good. Well, let me ask you, has he proven that to you? Well, I think you could do a little better. Let's go real loud. Everybody in the church. One more time. He's present. You say, I can't feel him. Sometimes you can't feel him, but you can walk by faith. Sister Antoinette, you say, oh my, one more time, I'm going to shout myself. Then lastly, and I'm done, the Lord's promise for the storm. What did he say, Zach, when that thing was getting ready to initiate? What did he say when they got in the ship? He said, let us what? Go over on the other side. Is that what he said? Church family, look at Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 1. When you get there, say amen. Amen. The promise for the storm. And they came over, say it, church, unto the other side of the sea. You may say, I don't. you're going to make it. You may not feel you're going to make it. You may feel out of touch right now. You may think God's so far away. But if he said you're going to make it, you're going to make it. Hey, by the way, I'm going to make heaven. Not because of me. I'm going there because of him. And I'm going to get through my storm, not because of me. I'm going to get there because of him.
Amen.
I want to ask you tonight. And go ahead and bring Brother Deal and get him ready for baptism. And Lois, you get to the piano, please. I don't have to worry about Lois knowing what to sing. You know, I want to ask you a question. How many in this room with heads bowed and eyes closed, you're in some kind of storm tonight? You're in some kind of trial tonight? How many raise your hand and say, pray? I am. Raise your hand. You're in there. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to pray. And what I like for you to do, either if you're not healthy enough, just come and stand at the altar, kneel at the altar, but come to him tonight. And he does care. God bless you, Justin. We pray for you in the prayer room. Bless you, Brian. Others, just come. Our Father, we got folks coming. Lord, I plead the blood on them tonight. God, I know it's a challenge to our faith. God, touch them, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You ought to come on.
Amen.